Almighty God, indeed we do worship your holy name. We thank you that you are our good, good Father, who is rich in love and slow to anger. Please help us to listen to your word this morning and to be transformed as we see afresh the Lord Jesus, and as your Spirit does his work in us and helps us to live for Jesus. And we ask it in his powerful name. Amen. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm a person who sometimes has doubts. Are you? I can doubt myself, my abilities, my choices, my dress sense, definitely, sometimes even my self-worth. But I also sometimes have doubts in my faith. This fantastic story of a powerful, holy and loving God who would come and save us through his Son Jesus, that Jesus would die in my place and rise again and give me eternal life as I follow him. Sometimes, if I'm honest, this story, as wonderful as it is, can seem too good to be true. Or I just doubt whether God really loves me. Or when I'm struggling with something, I can doubt if God really cares about me. I do have my days when my most persistent prayer is, "Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief." Can you resonate with that? It's one of the reasons I love so much that our story has characters like Thomas. People who, like me, have their questions and their bad days. People who think like I think and wrestle like I wrestle. See, he often gets a bad rap, does our Thomas, but at this particular place in the story, I think it would be pretty normal, don't you, to be weighed down, grieving and wrestling with doubts, wrestling with his faith. I mean, think about it. We pick up the story today in John chapter 20, verse 19, on the evening of that very first Easter. That is, it is just over 48 hours since Jesus was violently executed on a Roman cross. It's just over 48 hours since his dead body was laid in that rich man's tomb. And now we find his shell-shocked, traumatized friends and followers huddling together. They're hiding, actually, in a locked room because they're afraid that the same powerful religious leaders that just has hunted down and killed their leader might also hunt them down and do to them what they've just done to Jesus. This group is together and they are afraid and they are grieving and hurting and confused. And into that space, Jesus appears, resurrected, and he says to them, "Peace, peace be with you." Only here's the thing, Thomas is not there. Talk about bad timing, right? I mean, perhaps he got the short straw and he was the one out getting supplies for dinner. Perhaps he was just taking some time to process. Maybe he was shedding a quiet tear off on his own. Wherever he is, the poor guy has just missed out big time, not seeing the resurrected Lord Jesus. And so when Thomas returns to the still locked room, he returns to the place that all the disciples are still hiding in for fear of discovery. He's greeted with this news from all the others. "We've just seen Jesus. We've just seen the Lord. You missed him, but he was right here with us." Now, what would your reaction have been if you were Thomas on that day in that moment? That's not a funny joke, guys. "Oh, yeah, sure. Or, unless I see the nail marks and put my fingers in the holes, I won't believe it." As a pretty rational kind of person, I think, I resonate with Thomas as he hears this story, which sounds a little bit too good to be true. A story, no doubt, that he would want to be true, but wanting it doesn't make it so. And so as we unpack the rest of this story, I've got just three simple points that I want us to consider that we can learn and be encouraged by this character, Thomas. And here's the first. Doubts don't disqualify us as people of faith. Doubts don't disqualify us as people of faith. See, Thomas has just voiced his doubts. Excuse me. "Unless I see him and touch him, I won't believe." And for that, he's often judged in the commentaries and labelled as doubting Thomas. In fact, you hardly ever see his name referenced without that descriptor being added first, doubting Thomas. But though other people have judged Thomas pretty harshly for his doubt, I'm not sure that Jesus is one of those. Have a look at verse 26. "A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Peace be with you.'" It's what Jesus said on that first visit, and again this time, a common greeting, yet more than a simple way of saying hello. Jesus is, in fact, reassuring his followers, those who on his first visit had abandoned him to death only a few days ago, but reassuring them of their continued relationship, his continued love for them. Thank you. His desire to know that it's okay to begin again, restored as they are in his peace. But then, especially Jesus' care for Thomas. Jesus supernaturally, of course, knowing what Thomas had said, knowing what he needed, and Jesus paying special attention to the one who had missed out. The one who has been stuck in his grief and confusion a whole week longer than all of the others. "Thomas, come and look. Come touch, come see. Thomas, stop doubting and believe. I think as we read those words, we can often put a tone of judgment or disappointment into them. But I think that's us, not Jesus. Jesus isn't condemning Thomas for his doubts, I don't think. He's inviting him, come and see, come and look again, come and unburden yourself and believe. Now, doubts don't disqualify us as followers of Jesus. I think he is far more compassionate and gentle with us in our doubts than we can tend to be with ourselves or with each other. Because here's one of the strange things about being a Christian. We have this glorious assurance of the end of the story, of eternal life with Jesus, of 10,000 years of singing his praises and then forevermore after that. But we have no details about what will happen tomorrow and what awaits us there. We can have certainty about the glorious ending. Our salvation is safe and secure because Jesus has paid and led the way. His resurrection guarantees our own resurrection. Yet still, we face griefs and trials here and now. Tomorrow's hills and valleys, which we aren't given any details about. And those valleys, when we hit those bumps in the road, isn't it normal to have questions, to have doubts even? Where are you, God, in this valley? Why is this happening? Do you care, God? See, this glorious hope that we trust for is like a lighthouse shining on the shore. We can navigate by its light. We have a sure direction for living because we can trust the promise it holds. But it doesn't do anything to stop the waves from crashing and knocking our boat today. And it doesn't mean that there aren't sometimes storms or sharks in our path. The unexpected crisis at home, the loss of health or independence, the sudden breakdown of an important relationship, a hardship or a death. That these things cause doubt makes us human. And though we are Christians with a glorious hope, it doesn't mean that we're immune to doubt. And when those griefs and trials hit us and we cry out to God with our questions and our doubts, Thomas's testimony can comfort us that just as Jesus heard Thomas's doubts, he hears ours too. Just as Jesus held Thomas gently in his doubts, inviting him again to rest and come and see and believe, so too, friends, he holds us gently in the midst of our storms. No, doubts do not disqualify us as people of faith. In fact, here's my second point. Doubt, rightly directed, can draw us into deeper intimacy with Jesus. See, Thomas sees Jesus and then he declares, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says to him, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Again, many commentators and things take this to be a bit of a rebuke from Jesus, saying effectively, Thomas, you should have believed without seeing. You should have believed the word of the other disciples. And indeed, Thomas, at this turning point in history, not that he knew it at the time, Thomas is at the turning point in history, not that he knew that at the time, and so believing in Jesus in the flesh, believing because of the apostolic ministry, that's what he should have done, believing the gospel witness. But if that is a rebuke from Jesus, it's a very gentle one. Rather, I think it's included here as an encouragement for us, actually, for those who come after Jesus' ascension, for those like us who haven't gotten to see Jesus in the flesh yet and still can believe. But how do we believe without seeing? Where can we get our confidence if not through sight? Well, friends, it's no accident that John has included this encouragement right before his purpose statement for the whole book that he's just written. Verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. How can we believe without seeing? Well, by looking again at the testimony of Jesus, looking again at his life, his teaching, his power, his miracles, his compassion and righteousness, his sacrifice and love. In fact, John has written the life of Jesus down for us. No, not everything that he did, but enough that we would see and believe that the Messiah is Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God. We read this purpose statement from John's Gospel and it kind of compels us again to go back to chapter 1, back to the beginning. Look again. Look again and see who Jesus is and what he has done, and by believing have life and life to the full in him. Do you see, in fact, that our doubts and questions can actually draw us closer to Jesus as they prompt us to look again at who he is, to read again in the Gospels, to look again at the evidence. Life is not a straight path on an even highway, is it? It's not a direct route from birth to eternal glory. Life, in fact, is more of a journey than that, with bends in the roads, with hills and valleys, with rocky paths and smooth stretches, with some dead ends and some double backs. Now, Amy will tell you that's why you need Amy Insurance. But actually, we've got something far better than that. We are on this journey, cycling around, sometimes taking the long way, sometimes heading down a rough path, sometimes stopping and trying again, moving steadily and slowly forwards towards glory, but not in a straight line. Doubts and questions and forks in the road that come up for us in this journey, when we listen and when we invite Jesus into that space, into the doubt or the question, then that can draw us to look at him all the more, to gain some wisdom as we circle back again, seeing who he is in a deeper and more powerful way than before we had those questions. Doubts don't disqualify us, and in fact, doubts, when we're real about them and look for God in the midst of them, can actually bring us to a more intimate relationship with our Saviour. You can't wrestle without getting close to someone, can you? Mixing your sweat with their sweat. When doubts hit, wrestle with Jesus. Come right in close and look again at him. See how this account is written so that we may believe, and by believing have greater life in his name. The third quick point I want to make is this. When doubts hit, pray. Pray and trust that Jesus will meet you there. See, Jesus meets Thomas in his need. Jesus met Thomas and he's able to declare afresh and clearer than he'd ever seen it before after that meeting. Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." That's Jesus' desire for all of us, in fact. That we would grow in our faith and in our trusting him and in our understanding of who he really is. Ultimately, when Jesus returns to take us, his people, home, we will see clearly what now we only see dimly, as in the reflection on the water. But even now, the gentle care that Jesus showed to Thomas, "Come see, come touch, stop doubting and believe, Thomas." Even now, that should encourage us also, that Jesus will meet us in our need. He will meet us in our doubts. So friends, pray, wrestle, dig into the scriptures all the more, the story of God. Be real with him about your questions. Be real with us, your fellow believers and our brothers and sisters here in Christ. And look for how Jesus will show up, how he will meet you in your needs. Look for and pray for eyes to see where he is already at work. in the people and circumstances that are around you, the things that maybe you'd missed before. And trust, Jesus will meet you there with his peace, with his compassion, with his gentle invitation, that as we believe, he is working in us life, full life, in his name. Friends, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen.